Hello, and welcome to the Enlighten and Empower Hour with Kathy Best.
And Penny Best.
We're having some little technical challenges right now. I'm using some a different laptop and
Equipment always brings up a few little
Maybe it's just the energy that's so high and I'm just floating up in the ethers and not really down and connected and grounded. Who knows? But anyway, we're here. And today we're talking about depression.
Yeah, and it's such a beautiful, beautiful day.
Oh,
I wish we could somehow
bottle this
and send it out to everybody.
Yeah, it is just a gorgeous day here. The sun is shining. There's a wonderful breeze blowing. It's green everywhere you look, trees and grass and mountains. And
it's not oppressively hot,
right,
or too much humidity. It's
No humidity, which is a miracle for
this time of year here.
Woo-hoo! In Virginia, yeah. I mean, it's been horribly like 95%, 99% humidity all last week. And now there's like hardly any. And it's just, it's amazing.
Blissful.
But anyway, so depression, you know, so many people suffer from it. Sometimes it's not, you know, consistent, but I think everyone probably experiences some type of depression, you know.
During the course of your life, I would think it would be very, very unusual for you to never feel that way.
Right. But right now, you know, with all the garbage that's been going on for over a year, you know, people are just, they're even more depressed and anxious than they've ever been before. You know, I mean, if you think about it, of course. I mean, social isolation, lockdowns, unemployment, fear campaigns, coercion, you know, you name it. How can people not be depressed or anxious about what's going to happen, you know, what the future holds?
And for me, being a somewhat older generation, I hate to use the word old, but it feels to me a lot like it must have felt to those who lived through World War II. I was born shortly after World War II, and there was still a lot of talk about it, a lot of visual images that were part of almost daily activities. People didn't forget. And when I look at some of the things that people are dealing with today, it makes me feel like a lot of this stress and oppressive feeling that's out there must be a lot like what many, many people endured during World War II. And it's extremely challenging. And now that we have social media
To bring home all the fear and the drama and the misinformation and making people just feel bad about themselves. And there's a lot more judgment, I think, and a lot more bullying and a lot more just verbal attacks on people and insults. I guess it makes it a lot easier to be ugly and hateful when you're not physically in front of somebody, when you can do it behind a computer screen or a phone.
Yeah, because even if they know who it's coming from, you're not in that person's energy.
Right, and you can't confront them, you know, physically, and they can share it with the whole world. Now it's not just you that they're attacking and bullying and insulting. It's, you know, it's everywhere now. When they say something about somebody, everybody in the world sees it, and it's there forever. You know, even once it's taken down, it's so many people have, you know, seen it or copied it or shared it that you're never going to remove all trace of it.
The energy of that is, yeah. And that's why it's really so important for us to, one, understand this whole phenomenon, especially for young people.
Mm-hmm.
We recently watched a really wonderful documentary about young people in this country, Canada, England, and I believe there was another country involved as well. It was called Selfless.
Selfless. Two words, I think.
Less of Yourself.
By Kim Lauren. Lauren.
It was really wonderful. And anybody who works with young people, has young people in their family, I would recommend getting hold of that, because it really helps us to see what that's like from their point of view. Mm-hmm. Why are they so plugged in to what other people on social media think about who they are, what they look like? Why are they willing to do things that really aren't very good for them in order to be noticed
or and liked?
Liked, as in press a button and say you like it. This has nothing to do with really liking someone or something. It just has to do with being noticed and getting a feeling that you're part of the tribe.
Well, and it's almost too like instant gratification. You know, you do something and instantly you get rewarded, or you get, you know, some kind of a response from sometimes hundreds or thousands of people. And so that kind of is a bit an ego boost. You know, it makes you feel like, ooh, wow, you know, people are paying attention to me. I must matter. You know, I must be important, or, you know, people must really like me, or whatever.
Or people think I'm pretty or funny or whatever.
I mean, because that, if you really think about it, that's what social media has kind of conditioned people to be very narcissistic and superficial. I mean, everything that you're kind of encouraged to do on social media, it really has nothing to do with who you are, you know, what you stand for, what's important to you. It's all about taking dozens of selfies of yourself in all kinds of poses with all kinds of different outfits, or, you know, a lot of times,
or no outfits.
Yeah, a lot of times they're promoting, you know, encouraging women to flaunt their bodies with little or no clothing on them. And the more attention, you know, the more you do this stuff, the more you're validated by getting more attention and getting more likes by friends and strangers all around the world. So it's an addiction.
It is. It really is an addiction. And in the course of watching this documentary, we watched people interview these kids, and some of them were professionals. And they also talk to kids who don't have a lot of interaction with social media, who, for reasons of choice mostly, have not plugged into that, and the difference in the way they view those things.
And the way they view themselves.
And the way they view themselves.
A lot more confidence, more peace, more serenity. No anxiety or stress. I mean, if your daily life for a teenager and young adult, there's going to be stressors. But the ability to handle that stress with grace and
or just to think rationally about what's going on and how you should respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
When you're that plugged into social media, rationality kind of goes out the window.
Yeah. It's like common sense goes out the window, and integrity. I don't.
And, you know, this came up in discussions with kids, classroom groups of kids, and they're talking about what they're doing on social media and why they're doing it, and then guiding them to really start thinking about the impact that that's having, and asking themselves, why am I doing this? What is this really important? Is this really beneficial for me? Why am I doing this? And it was amazing. A lot of those kids really did start to recognize, you know what? Maybe this isn't all that important after all.
Yeah, but still, you know,
but they're still surrounded by it.
Yeah.
And they may be sucked into it again.
Yeah, of course they will be. because that's how you connect with people now. That's how you, you know, you can see, you know, I have children, or I have a child and stepdaughters, and their phones are like a part of them. You know, they can't go anywhere without them. And even when they're with other people, they're still on their phones doing things a lot of the time. So it's like, that's just, they're normal. You know, that's what they consider normal, and that's what they do. And I can understand, because phones have become our lifeline now for everything. They're so technologically advanced that you can do anything and everything with them. So it's like having your own personal computer in your pocket, and phone and camera and everything else that you think that you need. But where do we draw the line? You know, when does it become an obsession or an addiction? And what steps should we take to try to mitigate the effects? Because there are effects, especially on younger people whose brains are still developing and their emotions are still developing. When you're exposed to electronic frequencies and, you know, certain types of, like, 5G and different types of radio waves and things like that.
And even the light.
Yeah, even the blue light.
From the screens that they are constantly glued to. One ophthalmologist was interviewed, and she drew the connections between the fact that young people are developing macular degeneration, which used to be pretty much strictly
a disease
of aging.
Yeah.
And they have discovered that it is this constant exposure to the blue light from the screens that is starting this process at a younger and younger age. Think about this, people.
Yeah.
I mean, this is really a significant impact, and you can do something about it. Sunlight!
Yeah.
Being outside, kids who spend all their time communicating this way tend to not get outdoors much. And when they are outdoors, they're still on their screens. Sunlight, walking in nature, using your eyes to look at things around you rather than just a screen.
Physically interacting with people instead of being distracted. You know, there was a few teenagers on the in the movie that talked about how disappointed they were when they were sitting, you know, at dinner or something with their family, and they were being completely ignored because everybody was on their phones doing whatever. And I think we don't really recognize the connection that we're losing out on, the physical connection to the people around us that we're losing out on when we're constantly so engrossed in what's going on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook or whatever. You know, what your family and the people that you love aren't going to be around forever. You know, and the time that you have with them can be very fulfilling and rewarding if you put more attention and intention into it. If you focus, you know, if you focus your whole self on paying attention to people when they're interacting with you, instead of trying to split your time and multitask between listening to someone and playing on your phone.
And the connections that you form when you actually interact with someone, you do not create those connections.
Yeah.
When you are constantly distracted. And so the actual emotional bonding between people and families is weakened because there really isn't much of any exchange. And this is starting at a younger and younger age. I was in a store shopping not too terribly long ago, and of course, there were parents around me with children of all ages, but One particularly caught my attention. They had three children with them, and the youngest one, who appeared to be around 7 or maybe 8, was loudly disputing with her parents about wanting to get a smartphone. That, well, my friends all have them, and they can all talk and text and all this stuff, and why can't I? This is so unfair. And I'm just, I'm watching and hearing and thinking, ah, you're too young to start that. Be a kid.
Yeah.
Learn how to talk to people. Learn how to interact with people.
Learn how to entertain yourself. Really. I mean, I think kids have lost that ability. You know, when I was young, I used to go outside and climb trees and, you know, just look at insects and look at animals. Go make, you know, when I was really young, mud pies and, you know, pick berries off of bushes and put them in my mud pies. And, you know, I used my mind to create, you know,
things. Scenarios.
You know, entertainment for myself. Playing with my Barbies outside and coming up with all kinds of, you know, movies and stuff. And I mean, and playing with friends, you know, playing hide and seek and tag and.
Or just walking in the neighborhood or in the park and talking.
Yeah.
Those skills are being lost. And they are very important to our ability to connect with one another. On a really human level.
Yeah. And if you hear my cat meowing in the background, that's because she thinks I should be in the bedroom with her when she takes her nap instead of somewhere else doing something else. So just try to ignore her. She's like my baby.
She's had her rough experiences.
Yes, I guess she has. So, you know, there, and I know social media is supposed to be a way for people to feel connected. And for a lot of people, it can be a support system when you're feeling depressed or anxious or you're having, you know, suffering some kind of loss or a challenge. But, you know, a lot of people are also turning, a lot more people are turning to drugs and alcohol and prescription medications when it comes to trying to battle their depression, you know, or just to soothe themselves and find some, you know, some peace. And unfortunately, you know, all that stuff has side effects.
Yes.
And drugs and alcohol, while it may seem like they're an escape, they really, truly intensify depression and anxiety. They make it a lot worse. It gives you the illusion of some relief, but, you know, once the effects wear off, you're drowning deeper in all the stuff, all the thoughts, you know, all the problems, all the fears that you were trying to avoid by using drugs and alcohol. So it's really a catch-22. It doesn't solve anything for you. And, you know, it temporarily makes you forget about things. But if people could learn how to use coping mechanisms, you know, tools. There are tools that you can use, like deep breathing is a wonderful way to help relax your body. Soothing music, not.
And getting outside in natural sunlight. This is another connection that's being made with the screens that we are constantly watching. They do contribute to depressed emotions.
Yeah.
When you spend all day or every day on the screen, it does tend to increase irritation and
frustration
and
anxiety,
and a level of apathy.
Yeah.
It's not healthy in a lot of ways. And these things started out to be wonderful tools that opened up whole new worlds for us. But like anything else, too much of a good thing. There's a line where it stops being helpful and becomes detrimental.
Mm-hmm. And that goes too for antidepressants. A lot of people, a lot more people nowadays, are choosing to take prescriptions to try to help, you know, minimize their depression or their anxiety. And unfortunately, there isn't a single antidepressant out there that does not have a ton of side effects. I mean, a ton of ridiculous side effects. I know there are multiple types of antidepressants, and I'm not telling you not to take them. I'm telling you to seriously consider what the possible side effects are before you decide to choose this route. Because once you get on them, it's very difficult to get off of them. And oftentimes, the side effects are worse than what they're meant to treat. You know, I was doing some research, and I have a number of friends that take prescriptions, take antidepressants. I know a lot of people that take antidepressants. I've never taken any, thank God.
Well, and part of it is because the medical profession, that's what they're trained to fall back on. Right.
Well, that's all they know. They don't know. They're not trained to teach you about, you know, the natural ways that you can deal and cope with depression. It's all about writing prescriptions. It's just, I don't want to be ugly or hateful, but it's a drug cartel. I mean, that's what our medical association is now. Pure and simple. But side effects, you know, for any of these antidepressants, agitation and anxiousness, isn't that one of the symptoms that people are trying to avoid or reduce when they're taking these? Feeling and being sick, stomach indigestion and stomach pain, diarrhea and constipation, dizziness, weight gain, insomnia or feeling sleepy all the time, headaches, low sex drive. So if you're young and you like to have sex, you might not want to be taking antidepressants because you might not want to have sex anymore. Difficulties achieving orgasm. That would be very upsetting for lots of people too. And in men, difficulties obtaining or maintaining an erection. Ooh, I think that's something that a lot of men don't, that's a fear for a lot of men, and you don't want to take something that's going to increase the likelihood of that. Blurry vision, problems urinating, excessive sweating, especially at night, heart rhythm problems, heart palpitations, or tachycardia. There's a side effect known as serotonin syndrome. It says it's uncommon, but potentially serious. And it's when levels of serotonin in your brain become too high. It's usually triggered by a couple of types of antidepressants, SSRIs or SNRIs, which are serotonin reuptake inhibitors or serotonin non-adrenaline reuptake inhibitors. So I don't know much about these things, but apparently symptoms of serotonin syndrome include confusion, agitation, muscle twitching, shivering, and diarrhea. If you experience any of these symptoms, you're supposed to seek medical attention rapidly, immediately. Also, seizures can result from serotonin syndrome, arrhythmia, and unconsciousness. So if you experience seizures or unconsciousness, you're supposed to seek emergency medical help. But if you're unconscious, then
that might be difficult for you. We hope somebody else is around.
Yeah, it says call 911. And then there's another side effect, hyponatremia. Okay, let's say that's what it is, hyponatremia. It says elderly people who take antidepressants, particularly the SSRIs, may experience a severe fall in sodium, which is what hypotremia is. It can lead to buildup of fluid inside the cells of the body, which can be potentially dangerous. It says this can happen because the antidepressants block the effects of a hormone that regulates sodium and fluid in the body. Elderly people are vulnerable because fluid levels become more difficult for the body to regulate. So mild symptoms, similar to depression, are feeling sick, headache, muscle pain, reduced appetite, confusion. More severe symptoms are disorientation, agitation, psychosis, and seizures. The most serious cases can cause you to stop breathing or enter a coma. So that's a little concerning, I would think. Diabetes. I had no idea, but this can be...
No, I didn't realize that was linked to...
You're at an increased risk for type 2 diabetes if you're taking antidepressants, any kind of antidepressants. So, because a lot of people gain weight when they're taking antidepressants, and this increases their risk of developing diabetes. And then, of course, the all-wonderful suicidal thoughts and tendencies is, you know, they say it's rare, but you hear about it in the news a lot. People on antidepressants that wind up committing suicide.
Yeah.
So, you know, these are just a few of the side effects, the possible side effects of taking antidepressants. So... if it were me, I would seriously look for natural alternatives. I mean, there are a bunch of them out there. I know I suffer from depression. I used to suffer from depression a lot when I was a teenager and a young adult. I mean, it was constant. And there was even a point in my life where I seriously considered suicide, but I was too wimpy to go through with it. So I guess that's a good thing. But... you know, some of the things that worked for me was, first of all, having the willingness and the desire to find out what life was really about. You know, life seemed so pointless, and it was so hard and so challenging all the time. And there was just something inside me that knew that it wasn't supposed to be that way, or it didn't have to be that way. And I wanted to understand why it was that way for me. So, you know, I started asking questions. And thank God I had someone in my life, my mother, who was doing a lot of spiritual investigation,
personal well-being was just a general topic of interest for me for a long, long time.
And so, you know, she offered some books, and, you know, some of them were very life-changing, you know, especially Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh. That gave me the opportunity and the, what's the word I'm looking for? It gave me the...
did it motivate you?
No, it gave me, it made me feel like it was okay for me to question my beliefs about God and about religion in general. And it made me feel acceptable to look at what I was believing and what I was taught and, you know,
to use some discernment and decide
whether
yes.
it was true and accurate, or whether it was just something that had been passed down for generation and generation, and maybe it wasn't as accurate. Maybe things weren't, maybe people interpreted things the wrong way, and maybe what they were trying to express wasn't really what was being given to people. So, you know, just creating a new relationship with God, with the source of my being, and changing my thoughts about my relationship to people in general and to life and to why I was here and, you know, what life was all about, and the fact that life isn't supposed to be a miserable experience of trial after trial after trial. That, you know, that right there had a big impact on my well-being and my emotional health. But, you know, finding things like SAMe, that was something I used actually in my early 30s to help when I was single, a single mom, you know, trying, you know, working all the time and trying to take care of a child and a home and stuff by myself. And when my mother was helping me, thank God, because I probably couldn't have done it without her. But SAMe was something that helped tremendously. And I also used a combination when I wasn't using SAMe, because it doesn't work for everybody. And sometimes, you know, you shouldn't take it for long periods of time.
Long periods, yeah. And that's true of a lot of these things that we may mention.
Right.
They seem to work best if...
if you take breaks.
And maybe use alternatives.
Right.
Maybe have three or more that you can turn to and use some for a period and then switch.
Yeah. Because I know at one time I was using a combination of St. John's wort, passion flower, and lemon balm. I wasn't taking them all, you know, at the same time. I would maybe take St. John's wort and passion flower in the evening, and I would take lemon balm during the day. And, you know, maybe rotating it or changing it. But those things helped tremendously. I couldn't, but, you know, it took a few weeks before I really started feeling, you know, the difference. But that's with anything, you know, even prescriptions, it's going to take several weeks before you really start experiencing. And I wasn't having any side effects, so that was the amazing. And diet,
yes,
the diet,
the connection between the food that we eat and the emotions that we feel is very, very strong. We need to keep that in mind.
And your gut has a big impact on your mental health. If you have a lot of digestive issues or intestinal problems, that is going to cause your mental well-being to plummet, really. I mean, I didn't realize it either, but if you're eating a diet that's full of sugar and processed wheat and gluten and lots of fried foods or even lots of red meat and just junk.
Or lots of treated meat,
GMO,
sandwich meats, and GMOs.
GMO foods.
All of those things affect your intestinal health.
They destroy this lining of your stomach.
And your mental and emotional well-being.
Yeah, because actually your stomach has neurons in it. It has brain cells in it, and it communicates with every organ in your body, but especially with your brain. And when your stomach and gut health is not in balance, your mental health is not going to be in balance either. So, you know, even doing an elimination diet to help you figure out what things may be affecting you, affecting your health and affecting, and foods can also affect your brain directly.
Yes.
I mean, certain foods can cause you to have confusion and the inability to focus and, you know, reduce your mental clarity and your ability to kind of rationally process things.
You lose the sharpness of your focus and things just get kind of muddy.
So diet would be one of the top things I would suggest people to start with, to start removing things that you know are not healthy for you.
And start by switching to more fresh foods and less or no processed.
And if you can afford it, go organic, because most non-organic foods, unfortunately, are genetically modified, and they're using a lot of herbicides and insecticides and all kinds of chemicals to grow and protect foods.
And the modifications are actually allowing the foods to absorb this stuff and still continue to grow. So when you eat it, you're eating
insecticides
and fungicides
and herbicides.
Do you really think that's healthy for your body?
I am surprised
we're still here to tell you the truth.
But that's why so many people are suffering from stomach issues. I mean, and poor digestion. They can't digest the nutrients and the vitamins and the minerals in their food anymore because their insides are just being, you know, destroyed by...
Genetic modification is a very complex subject, and we tend to treat it kind of like a new toy. Oh, we can do it, so let's do it.
And let's test it out on the public. They can be our guinea pigs. I mean, really, that's what it boils down to. We are all test subjects for all of these new technologies.
And truly, people, this is not a conspiracy theory. That phrase is being used so much. And what's it for? It is to dissuade people from looking further into a subject.
And oh, it's to discredit.
That's conspiracy theory. Yeah. That's baloney. You don't even want to be bothered with that.
It's to discredit people that are speaking out about things that need to be spoken of. And I would just tell people, you need to start using your intuition and your common sense. You know, you're born with an internal guidance system. And if you'd stop putting all kinds of garbage into your body, you would, and stop focusing on the garbage outside of your body, you could start paying attention to your internal guidance system, and you would get more clarity, and you would have more confidence, and you would be able to make more beneficial, supportive decisions, and you would feel better about things that are going on if you were more in tune.
Right. You'd feel more empowered because you'd be able to make better decisions about how to respond to things. Each of us has this amazing field of energy that is part of who we are. And that field of energy reads what's going on out there, sends signals to us. It gives us access to information that is beyond the information we absorb from
with our eyes and our ears,
screens and news and all the rest of that. It allows us to have a certain individual sovereignty, allows us to make choices and decisions that are really based on what's good for us and not what somebody else says is good for us.
Yep. So, some other things that you can do, and I have bad news for the caffeine lovers out there. That's another thing
I know.
That you need to get rid of. Energy drinks and caffeine are just very bad for you.
And unfortunately, the energy drinks, it's like the caffeine. You know, the caffeine gives you a boost that you're not getting out of your body because your body's screaming for some good energy sources and it's not getting them.
Eat some fresh fruit instead. That's a good energy source. It's a very good energy source.
Or get some sunflower butter, nut butter. We have discovered sunflower nut butter in place of other
peanut
kinds
butter,
of nut butters. And
it's quite delicious.
I think it's about the best one that's out there.
Yeah, I do too.
Just a personal choice, but it's pretty darn good.
Yeah. Of course, it does have sugar in it.
Well, a little bit.
So maybe we could find a brand that didn't have sugar in it. And then we could put our own coconut sugar in it. That would be better.
Or honey.
Yeah, that would be even better. Yeah. But eliminate refined sugar and refined carbs and alcohol and MSG and all kinds of... If it's in a box, it's got all kinds of preservatives. And you really don't want to put preservatives in your body. Because they're chemicals, and the body doesn't process chemicals. It absorbs them and stores them in your organs and in your fat and in your tissues. And then they're there, and they're building up and building up and building up, and they cause toxicity, and they cause inflammation. And then that leads to a whole host of physical and mental problems and disorders.
And it, you know, the stuff, it builds up over time.
Yeah.
And as our bodies age and become more stressed with trying to deal with some of these things that we're putting in there, the symptoms become more and more noticeable. So don't think just because you're younger
that you can get away with it.
That you can get away with
because
it.
Because that's what I used to think, and I'm paying for it now.
Do yourself a really big favor and don't start the process. Your body will thank you in so many ways as you get older.
And you know, I haven't read anything about this. I haven't read any correlations about this. But I truly believe that heavy metals, the abundance of heavy metals that we're absorbing in our environments and from our fillings, our
The dental
amalgams. The metal fillings, the silver fillings, are truly another thing that are affecting our emotional well-being as well as our physical health.
And that's true, you know, and I don't know how long the dental profession has been aware, but I know that they do have some awareness of the fact that the mercury used in so-called silver fillings, I'm sorry, mercury is a very, very, very toxic substance.
Yeah.
And we get really concerned about mercury in the fish that we eat.
Or in the water that we drink. Or in the thermometers that we're not supposed to play with.
So if that's the case, does it really make sense to say, but it's okay to put that in your mouth and leave it there for decades?
And you're chewing on it constantly. You're putting pressure and force on it every day. And that's okay? It doesn't make any sense to me.
You know, when I was a kid, this was not even on anybody's radar.
Yeah.
It wasn't thought of by people who were getting fillings. Now, I don't know whether the people who train dentists were aware of it at that time or not, but I strongly believe that there are a lot of things that medical and dental professions have been aware of, but they have not been training people to recognize some of these issues, because if they did, they would have to completely change the way they address certain things.
Well, and not just that, they'd have to rewrite all the textbooks that they used to train with, and they'd have to admit that they were wrong, or that they lied, or that they covered something up. And too many egos are at stake, and too much money is at stake.
And science, unfortunately, science seems to be an area where ego is a pretty big factor.
Well,
admitting that you're wrong
and
that something that you have put your faith in maybe for most of your life and finding out that, oh, that wasn't exactly right.
Yeah. Or that wasn't right at all. That was completely false.
And we can't tell people that.
Yeah.
We just have
They won't trust us anymore. We'll lose our, you know, all our clients and patients. We'll lose the respect and blah, 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 blah. We'll lose money, blah, 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 blah.
And, you know, yeah, some people may have some health issues. And, well, some people may actually depart a little early.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to keep this quiet.
Yeah. It's just insanity. But anyway. So
depression is, for a lot of people, I'm not saying for everybody, but for a lot of people, depression absolutely can be managed without prescriptions.
Yes.
Moving, doing exercise, getting outside, connecting with somebody, even if it's a puppy, something that you can actually connect with and feel love from. Researching for yourself, finding a purpose. And okay, here's a little self-promotion. When I discovered that numerology could give me a map and allow me to understand a purpose, a direction, a road that I was meant to be on, it took me a while to really absorb that, but it was huge, because so many times when we feel confused and depressed, it's because we don't know what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Why the heck are we here?
Yeah.
What is this all about?
Yep.
All right, numerology isn't magic. You still have to do things.
But it gives you a map.
It does. It gives you a map. And it, when things become challenging or confusing, you can go back and look at your map and say, okay, well, here are some tools I can use to get over this hump, or even better, oh, here's some changes I can make that I can actually go around that.
Yeah.
I don't have to go through that swamp. It's something to consider.
So contact Penny.
Or some other...
She's a really good numerologist, though, so you should contact her. And she can do a chart for you, and she can talk to you about the chart
and
explain it to you and give you some suggestions and some insight.
And charts, you know, they can be very detailed,
mm-hmm.
and they can cover many, many areas. But if your main issue is, what's my general purpose? What am I supposed to be reaching for in this life? You can work with just that one piece of it and make a big difference. Some people want to know details and want to get down to the nitty-gritty. And other people just say, okay, what's the big picture here?
Right.
Where am I headed? And then you have something to work from, and you get to decide with information and not just guess.
Right. Yep. And, you know, another thing about depression and anxiety that I've recognized over the years is that when I start to feel anxious or depressed, it's either because I am dwelling on the past or I am worrying about the future. If I can be consciously aware of that when it's happening and bring my attention back to the present moment, my depression and my anxiety go away.
And, you know, dwelling on the past and working for the future are two things that we're kind of trained to do. We hold on to that stuff that happened back there, and life, the way we've set it up, tells us you have to be thinking about the future. You have to plan. And there's a little bit of that that we all need to do.
But worrying about the future serves no purpose.
And you know, future plans change.
Yes.
Because our choices can make changes in our future. And so we have to have some flexibility, the ability to change the direction a little bit or just flow with things. If you're very rigidly absorbed in what you're creating for the future, you lose that ability.
So we're getting close to running out of time, so we got to speed this up. I want to give people some tools.
We got some more tools.
Yoga is a great thing to do.
Yes, yoga is an excellent
vitamin therapy. Vitamin B, the multi or the complex B complex, B12, B6, B9, B2,
and the sunshine vitamin, vitamin K,
vitamin D. Yes, D and K are vitally important. Vitamin C. Lots of times you can have a vitamin deficiency, so you could even go get tested to find out if you have any vitamin deficiencies. Potassium can be another one. Magnesium is vital in well-being, health and well-being. So you could be low on magnesium. That could be something that's maybe not causing your depression, but exacerbating.
Yeah, adding to it. And people whose depression is primarily focused around stress, ginseng and ashwagandha are two wonderful herbs that really help us deal with stress in a much better way, and it does not tend to create as much of a toxic environment in the body.
Mm-hmm.
So if depression and stress are two big things in your life, you might want to consider looking into those.
Massage therapy is another great tool to help with depression. Just the act of getting your lymph glands and your muscles and your tissues massaged, and it's like working the stress out of them, and it opens up your body's ability to release toxins, and that can make a world of difference. Acupuncture,
yes,
that's another great tool for restoring balance and improving blood flow. That's another thing. If you're having blood flow circulation issues, that can cause depression as well, can cause emotional imbalances. counseling and therapy. Those are always good fallbacks. Make sure you find a good qualified counselor or therapist.
And someone that you relate to.
Yeah, even a coach can help. You know, coaches aren't necessarily trained in the same types of therapies that counselors are trained in, but there's...
You don't always need...
Right.
That
right. You don't always need cognitive behavioral therapy or some of the other things that, you know, professional counselors and therapists utilize. Meditation is a glorious way to help reduce stress and anxiety. And it's not for everybody because a lot of people can't settle their minds enough. But it's worth the investment. It's worth the time and the effort. I spent years trying to learn how to meditate. I mean, years. I got so frustrated. I would just cuss and...
Well, that's not going to encourage anybody.
No, but I mean, it was because I was trying so hard to try to clear my mind of every thought that entered it. And I was getting so angry and frustrated at myself that I couldn't do that. And that's what was causing the pressure and the stress. When I finally realized that I didn't have to clear everything, I didn't have to stop my mind from thinking, I just had to not be attached to the thoughts. I had to let them float through my mind, come and go, and not be upset when I couldn't focus completely on my meditation, and just relax my body and breathe, and just let it be whatever it was, without any expectations or desired outcomes. That's when meditation became a powerful tool for me.
And guided meditations that give your mind something to focus on make that process easier to start working with.
Absolutely. Volunteering is another great way to help reduce depression, anxiety.
And she's already mentioned St. John's wort that she's used before. And it's certainly worth looking into. There are other things that may be helpful. 5-HTP.
Yes, that's another one that's excellent.
And the recommended dosage for that is usually 150 to 300 milligrams a day. Now, the information I have is saying that if you are already on a prescription antidepressant, it's not a good idea to mix those along with just about any herbal antidepressant. You don't mix antidepressants because you get into
even
trouble.
Natural ones. Yeah.
So if you're already on a prescription one, it's good to talk to your practitioner about how can I back off this and get to a place where I'm not on it so I can try some of these other things.
Right. Saffron apparently is another herb that's very good for depression. There were 6 studies that have been done with saffron that says that it's as effective as antidepressants with no side effects. 15 milligrams of the extract twice daily were used in most studies, so that's something...
It's certainly worth trying. Yeah. I'd not heard of that one.
I hadn't either. And acetyl-L-carnitine is another... It's an amino acid that improves brain and energy metabolism, and it's been shown to effectively treat depression in a number of studies, and it has no side effects as well.
B12 is good for treating antidepression, or mixed B supplements with B12 in them. Also, amino acids, the amino acid tyrosine.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's a pretty effective remedy for depression, and the suggested dosage is 500 milligrams 3 times a day with meals. You can go up as high as 1,000 milligrams. It suggests, a lot of health professionals suggest that if you're doing this on your own, you not go above 1,500 milligrams a day. It's considered to be one of the safest amino acids. But for some people, high doses can trigger a migraine headache. So you just have to be aware of that.
So we're almost out of time. And the last thing that you can do to help with your depression and anxiety is something that we do on every episode. It's called good news.
That's right.
You know, anytime you want a boost of positivity that can lift your mood, go to the Good News Network or watch animal videos, cute animal videos.
Baby animals.
Yeah, baby animals.
Who does not love and smile at baby animals?
Yeah, that's another great way to lift depression. But the Good News Network usually has a lot of really wonderful stories about just about anything you can imagine.
And talking about animals. Scientists have discovered a new species, a little brown frog. They're calling it the chocolate frog.
Oh, and it's the cutest little thing.
It has big dark eyes and little suckers on its
little
toes.
Fingers and toes, and it's so cute. You have to see it. You really need to go on Good News Network and look up the article. It's from June 15th, and it just says scientists discover a new brown species. They name the chocolate frog. And, oh, here's an interesting article. A Nigerian home built from thousands of plastic bottles is 12 times stronger than brick and earthquake strong.
Oh, wow.
How innovative.
And it's a cool looking structure,
yeah,
too.
It is. It's awesome looking. I thought it was some kind of a concrete or something at first. But when I pull up the picture, it's like, oh my gosh,
it looks like it's some kind of earthen blend with these plastic bottles inserted.
They said it's a home, but it doesn't look like it has doors or windows. So
maybe it's not finished.
Oh, maybe so. But what a great use of plastic bottles.
And Lord knows we've got enough of those.
Yeah, really. So we need to find out who's making these homes and figure out if we can start making those here. It says as many as 14,000 plastic bottles will go into making a house. And this company is hoping to pitch the project to the Nigerian government to secure some additional funding and expand their enterprise. That is awesome. I'll have to remember that one and go back and read more about that because that's very interesting. So which one do you want to talk about?
Well, let's see. The Amazon tribe. People have been studying a lot of these indigenous tribes in various parts of the world, but they're saying the lifestyle of this particular tribe may hold a very important key to healthy aging.
I don't know how to say that. T-S-I-M-A-N-E. That's the tribe.
Okay. Samane. Natural experiment on the potentially detrimental effects of modern lifestyles. Boy, nobody has to tell me they're detrimental. I know that.
Yep.
Okay, and these people,
they did a study with, they took 746 adults from this tribe.
Ages 40 to 94.
And they did did brain scans, provided transportation
from their villages way out
to the CT scanning equipment. And they calculated the brain's volume and examined their association with age, compared the results to three industrialized populations in the US and Europe. And the scientists found that the difference in brain volumes between middle age and old age is 70% smaller in the tribes than it is in Western populations. So it's saying that it suggests that the brains of these tribes people experience far less brain atrophy than Western people, which is correlated with cognitive impairment, functional decline, and dementia.
Well, we know these tribes stay active. They're outside a lot. They don't eat junk food.
This is interesting because it said that this tribe have high levels of inflammation, which is typically associated with brain atrophy in Westerners. But apparently it doesn't have the pronounced effect on this tribe, the tribe members. And it says that their low cardiovascular risks may outweigh their infection-driven inflammatory risk, raising new questions about the causes of dementia.
They don't have a lot of obesity because they're always active.
It says in this tribe, the inflammation is driven by respiratory, gastrointestinal, and parasitic infections instead of obesity and metabolic disorders like it is in Western civilization. So,
Yeah,
yeah,
the
our
sugars and
sedentary,
fats and the sedentary lifestyles, though, and
are
especially now that
accelerating,
we're
yep.
sitting in front of computer
Yes,
screens all
20,
day.
yeah, almost 24/7, really. So that's just another reason to get outside and move your body and have some fun and bring more joy into your life. Life is too short to be stuck sitting behind a desk or behind a computer or even doing something, any kind of work that doesn't fulfill you, doesn't make you feel valued or worthwhile. And I think that's what a lot of people are feeling nowadays is, with all the unemployment and then with the unemployment wages that people are receiving, I think a lot of people don't want to go back to the jobs that they held before because those jobs hold
There's no
no passion and no
satisfaction. Yeah.
satisfaction. Yeah, they
There
want
were
something better.
something to make enough money to live on.
Yeah.
And that's.
And something that gives them a sense of pride and a sense of accomplishment, not just doing some, mindless, repetitive, work that feels meaningless and pointless and doesn't
And that,
even pay enough.
right, and that people don't appreciate you
Yeah,
for anyway.
exactly. So, all right, we're over a minute already. Let's just end on something really high and happy. I'm trying to find something here. Man who's able to talk backwards. No. New sustainable roofing material can naturally keep buildings cool without AC.
Ooh,
Oh, ooh, that's
oh dear,
exciting.
the AC people won't want to hear about
No, but
that
that sounds fabulous. So everybody needs to read that article. Sustainable roofing material can naturally keep buildings cool without AC. Imagine how much people could save on their utility bills if they didn't have to use AC. That's awesome. All right. And then innovative plant recycles polystyrene foam and recover valuable resources using all wind power.
Oh, firefighters
Oh.
had to help a baby raccoon that had its head stuck in a sewer grate. Oh
Oh
my
my
gosh.
goodness. All right, we just have to look at that real quick. Flying squirrel as big as a cat is discovered in Himalayas.
Oh gosh.
So this poor little raccoon has his head, oh my goodness, stuck in this sewer grate, the sewer cover. And Macomb County Animal Control called the fire department to try to figure out how to get the poor thing out of there. They tried putting soap around the animal's neck, but that didn't work. They considered cutting into the cast iron cover, but that could have been deadly.
Yeah.
So finally, they asked a homeowner to bring some cooking oil, and they were able to pull out the body and free the animal at last without an injury with cooking oil. So at least it has a use. You're not supposed to eat it because it's bad for you, but you can rub it on animals to get their heads out
When
of
there's
sewer drains.
God.
So, yay! All right. Happy Wednesday, everybody. You can contact Penny on LinkedIn and Facebook, and she's got an email. What's your email?
You can get me at peacepen224@gmail. Facebook, I don't get on there real often. LinkedIn's a
Yeah.
better option for me.
Yeah, LinkedIn's better for me too. Or you can go on my website, lightweightliving.net, or you can email me, kbest@lightweightliving.net. And we will talk to you again next week. Thank you so much for listening. Send us
Have an awesome
comments.
week. Be
Yes.
happy.
Love, love, love. Bye.